I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Congratulations. Your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. How you living, Threes?
I'm living the dream. How are you living, man?
Not bad. I'll get into where we... Jeez. Binoculars just fell off. I don't know. What do you got going on over there? I don't even know how it fell. I had these binoculars here just in case. I got to keep an eye on what's going on out here.
You say binoculars. Binoculars?
I always found it was funny when I was a kid. I always used to say binoculars.
Oh, got it.
My dad would be annoyed. Is pretty standard. Pretty standard for
pretty,
him.
Yeah, you sure? Pretty sure.
Yeah. So I'll get to where I was yesterday in a second, because there is an interesting kind of a little lesson for the kids here on a First Friday. But that's some pretty big news that Matt Andrews had there in the update. Frank Solich stepping down at Ohio after the incredible run that he had there. Tim Albin stepping in, longtime offensive coordinator, been there since 05, came over eventually from Nebraska with Coach. I think Frank Solich has done about as good a job as anyone's done in the state of Ohio in the last 20 years, and I say that acknowledging that we continue to be in the same town with Urban and Ryan Day and Jim Tressel. Yeah. I think that job's that hard. Yeah. I think it's a really hard job, and I think he crushed it. And the fact that he got him to bowl games and got him to Mac East titles and accomplished the things that he accomplished and solidified that program and put guys in the league, really remarkable effort for a guy who... It was interesting when he took the job, and I'm old enough to remember when he coached Nebraska to a national championship game.
Mm.
I mean, he had Eric Crouch. They won a Heisman.
Yep.
He won a Heisman. They were the sacrificial lamb for Miami, and whether they should have been there, they get drilled by Colorado in one of the late games of the year, but nevertheless, they did. But Nebraska hasn't really been the same since. Pelini stabilized it a little bit, but Nebraska really hasn't been the same since, and neither has Ohio. This is a tremendous legacy that he left in Athens. Truly tremendous.
It's awesome. He's been there obviously for a long time, and you know, whenever you see somebody step down this late and it says they want to focus on their health, you have to hope that he's okay.
Sure.
Because usually if this was part of his plan, it would have been done a long time ago. Because coaches like that understand that they want to have they understand the effects of this with recruiting, just a lot, let alone the structure of the organization. Like, he's been there for a long time. The interim offensive coordinator that's going to step up to be head coach this year, he understands the system. But when you're this close to the season, I mean, you're talking about less than a month, probably jumping into camp. I mean, this is basically, all right, we're going to operate what Frank would have done. You know, like, yeah. I'm not sure you really have enough time to sit there and truly digest everything that is, I guess, that could happen, you know, with this and how you would change things in the schedule. So obviously a ton of respect. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's a heck of a career there, really a heck of a career in coaching overall.
Yeah.
And has just been a steady presence down there in Athens, but definitely surprising.
Sure.
To say the least.
Yeah, you certainly hope for his health, and his health is okay, or that he's in good shape going into it. They have had so much consistency in staff down there that, it's like the guys who've been there have all been with him for a long time. And Joe's dad was down there for a long time. So
yeah.
It's been a tremendous run for Frank Solich down there, a really legendary run. And any time which we didn't see him much up here, we didn't. You know, I mean, it was something that every once in a while, it felt like once a year, when I was at Channel 10, they would come up and do a little tour, and, you know, him and the basketball coach. And certainly Bowles being down there has helped, because Bowles is somebody who we all know quite a bit, and his success is something that played a lot here. But I always felt like they were kind of on a little bit of an island down there. You know, it's a tough job. It really is. And the success he had is something that shouldn't be taken lightly, because it's really difficult to do what he did down there for so long and to do it with the character and the class that he did. So that's some pretty surprising news here on a First Friday Miracle. Did you watch any of the All-Star game last night?
I did, actually. I did, and by some, probably about 2.5 innings, but I watched some.
Okay.
I watched some. I happened to catch, I think, Ohtani's second time up, and I was like, yes, give me something! And it was like first swing grounder, you know, first base.
Yeah.
But I caught Joe Buck's interview with Tatis, and I thought it was enjoyable. You know, I'll put
that's
it this
great.
Way. Here's what I'm wondering when you listen to this stuff. The All-Star game in-game interviews. Mm-hmm. I think it's I'm torn on them, to be honest. I'm torn on them, and here's why. Sometimes they can be like enlightening and fun and see a person's character. But then I think sometimes my guy Joe just tries to I don't know. I always wonder how the players actually feel about it. And then I try to put myself in that situation, which would have been awful. Like to try to talk to somebody in the game, you know, even though it's an All-Star game, that while you're.
Does feel like almost like at the end of it, like who doesn't know when to leave.
Yeah. It's like at the end, you're like, Hey, Fernando, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Stay healthy. Not, hey, make something happen when you get up the bat, huh? You know, like,
yeah.
I'm sure you guys are not best friends. Stop. Just leave.
Right.
Leave the party. Just walk away.
I think that's it a little bit.
And I really like Joe. And I think that it's obviously a producer. Listen, producers do this all the time. The amount of times where my skin crawls, I'll be up in the booth and it'll be like, hey, we have so-and-so ready. And I can hear the producer saying, like, you can see the SID saying, like, we got to go. This is warm-ups, you know? Let's go. And it's like, you hear the producer, ask him about this. Ask him about this. I'm like, my gosh, he's not going to give you anything. You think he's going to give you something on a player that's up or down when you don't have... And it's just like, oh, my goodness. And I literally want to just smoke the microphone on my head. Be like, come on, guys.
I do like the idea of the All-Star Game interview because you get to hear guys talk who you don't normally hear talk. And we'll talk about Shohei in a second.
That's everybody in baseball
state of the
for
game.
Me.
Yeah. No, I
know. Well, did voice recognition.
So yesterday, did you see...
I wouldn't hear anybody.
Did you see the stuff with Jeff Passan on with Stephen A. yesterday? By chance, did you see any clips of that?
No. No.
Okay. So what was interesting about it was, you know, Stephen A.'s like, why isn't Major League Baseball promoting these people? And Jeff didn't say this to him. But what Jeff's response could have been is, you host one of the most popular shows on this network. Mm-hmm. If you decided to follow Major League Baseball the way that you follow the NBA, they would.
Yeah.
They would. For the NBA, long, long time ago, did a really good job. This goes back to Magic and Bird for the kids out there. This is Magic Bird. David Stern, the then commissioner at the time.
Wait, there's a Magic Bird out there?
Yeah. Really is. It's amazing. The thing's got all sorts of yellow and purple and green colors. It's fantastic. But what they did is they said, look, sure, these franchises are important, but these two are stars.
Mm-hmm.
How can we find a way to put these two together? Now, it was fortuitous because they were on the Lakers and the Celtics, so that was easy. But they saved the NBA.
Yeah.
Before those guys, the NBA was on, you know, the finals were on tape delay.
Yep.
So that changed it. That led to television contracts. Then Michael elevated. Michael took it globally, and it is where it is, and it's a big global sport. And it's one where you can talk about players through the off season.
Yeah.
And it's almost as interesting as the games.
Yeah.
They've kind of done that. Maybe to detriment, because there really is no loyalty to teams. It's loyalty to individual, and that's a whole conversation for another day.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball has spent the better part of the last 50-so years trying to really tamp down any individual personality.
Yeah.
You know, with the code. Oh, you can't flip a bat. That goes against baseball code.
Right.
I'll go to hell.
I think that you'd have a lot
Forget
of kids, it. And I'm not sure what it says about us, but how much more fun would it be for kids? Like, you hit a home run, and you see a little kid flip a bat, and I'm sure there's some baseball enthusiasts, like people at our station who are probably going to blow their mind, but... It'd be a lot more enticing for a kid. Like, face it, it's the touchdown celebrations that hook these kids, and that everyone wants to make a catch like Odell or dance like Odell or dance like Victor Cruz back in the day, right? I mean, everyone wants the Dion. My goodness, I tried to do Dion every time in the backyard.
Same.
I don't have the smoothness, but I was trying to be Dion Sanders.
No, and
it was the flash of Dion. Like, when you're a kid, You don't appreciate the technique of Lance Briggs running through the gap and making a great tackle for loss. You know what? You probably right. remember the sack dance. I remember those. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, you remember when somebody had a signature sack thing. So those are the things that I think about, and what hooked me as a young kid is that, okay, for one, Deion's going to be swagged out with the amount of wristbands and the bandana around the neck. And you're like, wait, is that a headband on your neck or a band? Why do you have so much? You have so many things you're wearing. But anyway, and so then you would try to wear all that, and then he would score. He'd do the high step and then his dance, and you'd be like, oh, it's beautiful. It's perfection. And so
I wore that ridiculous face guard playing quarterback.
Yeah.
The one with the two things
awesome
by the
eyes.
How
awesome was it, though? Right? Like,
looked so cool.
Yes.
I didn't even care that it obstructed the view.
Yes.
Fine. No big deal. Yeah. I look cool. I'm wearing it.
Yeah.
No, of course.
I look
awesome.
So
I think they're in that spot a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Baseball's in that spot where they have these incredibly cool stars. And we'll expand upon this with Ohtani in a second, because I think there's, you know, one thing that was kind of missed in all the dialogue about, you know, what Stephen A. had to say about him. But they have these stars. I think Joe is trying his best to get the via Fox and the producers, because they're the most heavily invested.
Of course they are.
Right? Like this, and the, you know, to answer my own question about Stephen A., ESPN does not have the World Series.
Right.
They don't.
Yeah.
If they had the World Series, if they had the ALCS, the NLCS, they have Sunday Night Baseball, and they may have some playoff games, but they don't have the big ticket. So it's not in their best interest as a business to push baseball.
So let me ask
you. Facts. Folks, the reason the NHL has been completely off ESPN for 20 years is because ESPN wasn't in the business of the NHL. They are now. So what are you starting to see?
Yeah.
Melrose is back.
Yeah.
A little bit of hockey.
A little bit of hockey, you know, starts popping up.
They're in the
up.
Business.
Yep.
Yeah, they're in business.
My thing that I'm wondering is, so this is where I think Ohio State football fans get a little skeptical of ESPN. And I understand that Ohio State is covered by ESPN, right? It's obviously part of their contract. It's not the full contract like it used to be because of Fox, right?
Right.
But it is part of the contract. But the thing that I hear from fans all the time is, I think these are smart fans. It's not just, it's the fact that now they carry the entire SEC thing, right? So we'll get more and more SEC.
Yep.
They are the ones that helped form the SEC network. It's their talent that is just over. Just like it's Fox's talent that is in the Big Ten network. So that's why you'll see Joel Klatt on BTN Live. And you're like, what? And it's like, oh, well, obviously they're cousins, right? The network. So I'm saying that because hockey was nowhere. And then once that deal is announced, it's like, oh, gosh, now there's all these hockey conversations popping up. And in the same way that basketball, like growing up, basketball was not all over SportsCenter. And then all of a sudden you see like the shift.
Uh-uh.
And so I think that's where some, and I'm not going to take it all the way to the point to where there's an absolute bias against Ohio State. I don't believe that. But you can see why people are like, why is there so much SEC love? I think people say, well, obviously they're carrying it. They carry the whole package. And the SEC is good.
They're in business.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't run the Big Ten.
I think Ohio
State, they're not part owners of the Big Ten.
Right.
Network.
So I think Ohio State, like, we will benefit ESPN, and they know that. But if there's a story about, if there's a way they can promote their own money, like make self interest there with the Auburn versus whoever over Ohio State, Penn State, if they don't have the game, they're not going to promote it.
I always think one of the most remarkable things that they do is when they do
go on the road for
game day at Ohio State, Michigan, and the game's on Fox.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's straight up integrity, dude. Because there's no reason.
You're right.
That they're at that game.
Yeah.
There isn't. So, and they come to our games at Fox broadcasts. Now, you would never see the Fox pregame show go to a game that they don't broadcast.
No.
But game day does.
Yeah.
They do. They go. I mean, they're here a lot. And they go when we have a big game. They come, and a lot of times it's not on their network. So really the only games they have anymore is the Penn State game.
Yep.
So, you know, that's kind of where it is. But so I think that's a pretty respectable job out of them when they do that.
It is. It is.
It's nice. It's all a business.
Yep.
It's all a business. We'll get into the Ohtani thing in a second. We've got a lot to get into today.
What do we got?
Terrell Pryor.
I haven't looked. I just showed up. I just showed up random. You know,
it's fine. Fine, just, nothing to see.
Just show up, pick up
the TP and the rest of the guys from the Tat 5, which is a shame they're known that. I mean, that's we got to come up with a better way.
Seriously, that drove me nuts.
If anything
yesterday.
Comes of it, I hope it's that. Yeah, that's crazy.
That drove me nuts. We'll get into that. We're calling them the Tat Five.
We'll get into that at 9:30. Our third big question is the summer of Yarmo, and that is NJD, frankly, in the summer of the Blue Jackets. And Supporti will join us at 10:20 on that. And this is coming on the heels of some really interesting comments from Patrick Laine that were translated yesterday. So we'll get into that a little bit over the course of the day. Mike DeWine, our governor, maybe trying to get a little intervention up in Cleveland. And does that open up a little bit of a slippery slope? We will get to that in the final hour, get your officially endorsed as well. Real quick story. So the reason I wasn't on the show yesterday, my wife's last grandmother passed away on Sunday. And so the funeral was yesterday morning. And so, we went to the funeral. And it was really interesting. The priest who was in the service had her memoirs and was reading from them. And she spoke about all of the things that you want to be or that she wanted her children and grandchildren to be and so forth and so on. And at one point, and I think this is the part that's really important that I took from it. So she talks about how, I hope that you all share the same love. I hope that you all, continue to understand that about what is most important in life and family. And I hope you stay together long after I'm gone. And at the end, she goes, I hope that I get 10 more years. Okay. It was written in 1990. So she got 31 more years. She lived to be over 100. We celebrated her 100th birthday in May, and she got 30 more years of it, but lived a life of, in the moment, appreciating every day.
Yeah.
As opposed to worried about, which I think, and I talked about it with the boys yesterday, and it just was something that struck me of be thankful for today. And tomorrow, and then who knows? Maybe you'll get to 100, she died in her sleep at 100, and it wasn't all people say. Oh, boy, what a great run, and it was, but also the last year and a half was pretty lonely. It was pretty lonely to be an elderly person amongst COVID, and so it was certainly something that I think for her was probably time. But it was a really incredible thing to hear her words and to say, I hope we get 10 more years, and she got 30. But to try to live it that way. And so I took it from it, so I thought I would share with you and appreciate Chops coming in and pinch hitting on short notice as she passed on Sunday and the funeral was yesterday morning. So it was a pretty quick turnaround on that front. As I mentioned, a lot to get to here on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program, including Shohei Ohtani and the star that he is and all of the controversy around it. We'll hit on that coming up next. We'll get into Terrell Pryor and some of his teammates and what they are hoping to get done in about 12 minutes from now, off and running. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Sports conversation and sometimes pure stupidity.
Awesome, funny, random.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Today, top shelf conversation from top shelf gentlemen.
That's a pretty emphatic situation.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Pretty remarkable thing what Shohei Ohtani is doing. Hit the home run derby. Starting pitcher, batted leadoff. He's got 33 home runs on the year. He's hitting .280. From a pitching standpoint, he's got a 3.49 ERA in 67 innings pitched, 87 Ks. It's unprecedented unless you go back forever.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to go back forever. You've got to go back to Babe Ruth. You've got to go back to the Negro Leagues to find somebody who even attempted to do something like
that. Got
to
go back to Babe.
Yeah, you do, and it's a remarkable thing. And a couple of things on it. I think the thing that I think is most cool about this is that he demanded he be allowed to do it, because there's a lot of guys who certainly his talent is incredible, but there are a lot of guys who play baseball in this country and have gone to the big leagues who had an ability to hit at a high level. And pitch at a high level. In fact, probably if you're out there listening, every baseball team that you ever played on, the best player hit third, was a starting pitcher, and played shortstop when he didn't pitch. That's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah.
Or first base. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes. And then somewhere along the line, people get a hold of him, and they make him pick one or the other. Instead of allowing... Buster Posey was one of those kids at Florida State. Buster Posey was... the starting catcher, the starting shortstop, and the closer. That's what he did. And then he goes to the baseball. Well, you make the really catcher, and it worked. I mean, he's won MVP as a catcher. He won a World Series. Like, it all worked. Matt Wieters was another guy like that. I want to say he was at Georgia Tech when I was down there, where he could do those things. But we don't want our guys to do those things. We want them to pick one.
Yep.
Even in its own sport, not even like just even specializing in terms of picking a sport, but picking a position in a sport. Be the best you can be at this position instead of do all these things. And he demanded that he be allowed to do all of it. It was a condition upon hire.
Yeah.
And he's doing it. And so to me, that's the coolest part of it. I think that, and I hope that it opens up others to maybe have the audacity to do the same.
Well, and I think, Bo, it's good for him that he was so special at both of them. Because if you're the Angels, you're looking at this prospect coming over from Japan and you say, okay, a lot of guys want to do this growing up, but is he really elite at both? And I think, you know, there's some parallels in the ideas of how I take my stance with JTT playing basketball and football. It'd be different if he was like Joe Mauer coming out, who was Gatorade Player of the Year in football, going to Mid-Florida State. You know, at that time, which was the school to go to, right? If you're a top recruit coming out of Minnesota, or do I want to play pro baseball? So if it was him going to Florida State saying, you know what, I'm going to play baseball and football, you'd be like, damn right you are. Go ahead. Because you just got drafted by the Twins, you know? But the Twins actually drafted him and put him in minors right away, and he was playing his true rookie season. He gets called up to the big leagues and never looks back, you know? So it's...
Chris's brother did that at Florida State, Kyle.
Yes. And so you have this, if you're a dude in both, then pursue it. But the difference with JTT is that he's a mid-major college basketball player, which isn't a bad thing. But there are a lot of people that think that you're an NFL football player. They don't think that you're an NFL football player and an NBA prospect. That's different. You're not Kyler Murray, right, where he had a legit opportunity to be either or. And so this, within baseball and within its own sport, absolutely, right? I mean, you're thinking this guy can do both, but it's because he's elite at both. He's pushing boundaries in both.
I guess that's my pushback on that is I hope we allow kids who are, because he can't be
do both, but it's because he's elite at both. He's pushing boundaries in both.
I hope we allow kids who are because he can't be the first athlete to love baseball since Babe Ruth who can do both.
Right.
There has to have been others.
I'm with you.
But we've probably not allowed them to. We've said, no, just pick one.
I'm with you.
It
probably starts down, you know.
Starts young.
You even get hints of it in football. Like, there's a lot of us that have played both ways. I played tight end and linebacker. But even when I played, you'd have coaches say, I mean, you're going to be a linebacker. Like, you're only 6'2". You're not playing tight end. And you'd be like, okay. You know, there's certain height restrictions, stuff like that. But, like, one thing that I appreciate is like Marion Barber was never told either way. You know, he was running back and DB. He was actually offered as a DB and had no offers as a running back and made Glenn Mason give him a chance through fall camp and said, give me 2 weeks. And if you don't like what you see, I'll go back to defense. And he's their starting tailback, true freshman, you know? So we see this all the time. Like, let kids pursue both, dream big. And so don't you dare limit Black Cobra on his gold jacket and NBA Hall of Fame aspirations.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason you can't do both. So I won't do that. But, you know, make the Hall in both. One other thing on the Stephen A, just a thought I had about all of that, the stuff that he got in trouble for, rightfully so. But beyond that, the thing that he was really pushing was his Major League Baseball market, Shohei Ohtani. Do the average people in America know who he is? My big pushback to that would be, I don't think the average people in him, I don't think where he's from has anything to do with it.
No.
Or the language he speaks or doesn't speak. And he speaks English to his teammates. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I just think it's a baseball problem.
Yeah.
It's not a Shohei Ohtani problem, because I think you could have the exact same conversation about Mike Trout. And I don't think people know who he is, unless you're a sports fan or a baseball fan. I think Mike Trout could walk down High Street right now, and if he had nothing identifying that he was Mike Trout, no one would know who he is. I'd make an argument that probably more people maybe even know Shohei Ohtani than know Mike Trout. I'm not sure that that's stepping too far out of bounds. And I think there's a lot of factors to that. Mike isn't someone who seeks it out. He's played his entire career in Anaheim, which is the second most important baseball franchise in that town, and probably about the eighth most important professionals franchise in that town, and they've never won. He's never played in October.
Mm.
Like most people consider him one of the greatest players of all time, he's off to that type of start in his career, kind of like a Pujols start, right?
Yeah.
But he's played his entire career in anonymity on bad teams. So I don't think it's a – I don't know that it has anything to do with the language Shohei Ohtani speaks or where he's from. I just think it's a product of that sport, and I think a little bit of a product of where he plays, that it's tough. He's not playing – if he played in New York, if he played in Boston, understand that baseball was – really, baseball is most important on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And St. Louis.
Yeah.
But it's New York, it's Boston, it's Philly, Cincinnati – like the Eastern time zone places. All these guys we're talking about, Ohtani, Trout, Tatis, their game started 10:05.
Yep. Yep.
They're not being seen.
Right.
By the people who care about the sport the most. So I think there's a lot of factors to it.
Yeah. There is. There is. There's a ton that goes into this, but it's man, it's just you're not like I'm not staying up to watch these guys play in the same way. Like I love LeBron James. I enjoy watching him.
Sure.
I enjoy people who are elite at what they do and consider some of the best to ever do it. But I'm not staying up that late. He's not captivating me that much to a 10 p.m. tip. My goodness.
No,
I'm staring at me. I'm already in REM sleep.
I'm out at that point. REM sleep takes on a whole new meaning when you have a daughter named Remy.
Oh, well, yeah, it certainly does. That means that you're
very
not
differently
sleeping.
Defined.
That means that you're up
That's
every
right.
2 hours. Yeah.
I
grabbed homegirl this morning at 3:30 and brought her into the bed, and she's just cooing to herself, laughing, smacking me in the cheek. Okay,
best
honey.
Life.
All right. I know you're juiced and you're up, but mom and dad need to sleep. All right. I at least got another hour and a half till I wake up. Parenting, it's fun. You know, it's really fun.
It is. It is. It is. All right. Coming up next. So yesterday, Terrell Pryor, Devere Posey, Boom Heron, Solomon Thomas, Mike Adams put out a statement. And there's a lot to it, and there's a lot to reflect upon, and it opens up a lot of sore wounds for people that I don't know if they'll ever be healed, but I do think there is a point that they are trying to make that is valid, and we'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The first thing you hear every morning should be Bobby Carpenter yelling at you. Bird chirping is overrated. Morning Juice.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis is What's Up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Honda dealers.
This was an interesting one. And it's What's Up today. And it came out yesterday afternoon. Terrell Pryor tweeting out, we're calling for our school records and legacy to be restored so that Buckeye Nation can look at us with the same love and fondness that we've always had for them. We look forward to one day telling our story in the Tattoo Five forever being a legitimate part of the Ohio State's glorious history. This is complicated here. It's really complicated. And I've always felt that especially when I look at this list, especially the kids who came back for that senior season, and the kid that he's not a grown man now, but the kid that I have so much respect for just because I knew him a little bit better than the others, and going all the way back to his recruiting, was Devere Posey. Devere Posey, I thought, was hung out to dry by the university. He was suspended 10 games. He played 2 games that senior season.
Yeah.
He sat, and he trained, and he played 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
Played the Penn State game, and he played the Michigan game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget seeing him in the locker room at the Penn State game, and I pulled him aside afterwards. Not that it even mattered. I don't even know my guess is he wouldn't even remember it. And he sat there and he answered questions. It was the first time he talked. He answered all the questions from everybody. And I just thought, man, this is a kid who had an incredible Ohio State career. Incredible.
Yeah.
He was a great player from Cincinnati LaSalle. Great player. And had a great career. And his, what would have been, like, he could have gone supplemental draft too.
Yep.
He could have.
Yep.
I mean, he's a pro. But it hurt him. It hurt him in every way to come back, and he had to sit for 10. I thought he was hung out to dry a little bit by everybody. So I just want to get that on the record because that goes into what I'm saying. I think this is complicated. This is a lot like if you were, from a legal sense, if you were busted for marijuana in life, and all of a sudden marijuana has become legal.
Right.
It was illegal when you did it.
Yeah.
Is it silly that it was? Well, that's a different conversation. But what they did, they knowingly did illegally. Now, all these years later, it's changed. I've always felt, and I understand this is meandering a little bit, so bear with me. I've always felt that the taking away of the statistical accomplishment is ridiculous.
Right.
I've always thought that was stupid.
Yes.
Stupid. Like, it's ridiculous that their record, they won the games.
Right.
They passed for the yards. They caught the passes. They ran. Mike Adams is an All-American. Like, the idea that that was taken, Reggie Bush's Heisman, is stupid. But the part that's a little tricky is the legacy part. Because legacy is not something that can be defined by statistics. Look at us with the same love and fondness that we've always had for them. That's not something that I can force to be rejuvenated.
Right. This is...
Stats, school records, all of it, for sure. Shouldn't have been anyway. I always thought that was stupid, regardless of what their penalty or anybody's penalty was.
So
the other part is a trickier part.
I've thought about this, and I had discussions with many people yesterday about this. And Chops and I were pretty heated about the same thing you just said. The stats being taken away is one of the most ridiculous things that comes out of this stuff. The part of the story that you always forget about, and I know it had to do with Ray Small, and it had is the whole drug investigation associated with it. And this is where I was already in the NFL. So, like, I didn't read the articles. All I knew was, like, I was mad Tress was getting thrown under the bus for it. Like, I've talked to people about some of those things, but it's not like I really dug into it as if I would have doing this position, you know, this job, right? Or being an actual capital J journalist. But, so that's part of it that gets, like, the idea of, I still have an issue with Ohio State not letting, like, if you give me my jersey as a gift after a bowl game, and I want to sell it because it means nothing to me. Which is not me, by the way. I have all four of my jerseys, by the way, right? So I have mine. This is, so don't come throwing stones at me. But if I didn't really care about it and I wanted to sell it for money, or in this case, wanted to sell it to get a tattoo service, big deal. Big deal. It wasn't, that's what used to get me mad about people in the locker room. They'd be like, oh, free tattoos. Like, they weren't free. They actually sold their jersey to get the tattoos, or sold gold pants to get the tattoos.
Trade.
They had a trade.
Yeah.
It was a fair open market trade, right? So I understand, like, and I do get that point. This is what a lot of people said. There are rules in society. You don't have to agree with the rules. And typically when I look back on my opinions about a lot of things, that is where I stand. Like, if there is a rule, no matter how stupid, that's where I've kind of gotten to the point, and this is what made me upset about the sprinter. The rule might be old, it might be dumb in your mind, but there is a rule. Okay, so she's suspended. What makes me really fired up is that she's kept off the 4x1, which she was eligible for, and she is the fastest 100 meter sprinter in our country. So now what are you doing? Now you're going above and beyond. You're being
obtuse.
Yes. Good word there. And so I struggle with this as well, because I'm with you. When I think about their stats, their statistical legacy, that's the only thing that you can maybe change, in the sense of, like, I'm with you. Like, you can't erase Boom Heron's rushing yards or Terrell's throwing or the wins or, like, the Sugar Bowl victory, all of that. Like, I'm okay with putting that back in. Like, DeVere's a top five.
It should never have left.
It should never have left. Just like Reggie's stats and Reggie's Heisman. Like, you can't erase that. We saw it with our eyes. And it's different to me if this was a performance-enhancing thing. Like, if someone, correct, like, sure, if they came back and said, you know what, Reggie Bush actually lost his Heisman because they found out he was taking steroids or taking HGH or testosterone or whatever it was, right? Like, he's taking something illegal. Then I'd be like, hell yeah, that's performance enhancing. That changes it.
Yeah.
But in no way did his mom and dad getting a condo have anything to do with his performance. It's just,
mm-mm.
Anyway, so that's where it's going to be impossible. And I did not know in which Chops, and we can probably continue in the next segment, bad job out of them for self-labeling themselves a Tattoo 5. It's in the
very
statement.
Very bad job.
Like, why would you label that yourself about that? Like, it's just...
very bad job.
Anyway. But anyway, right about DeVere.
So,
DeVere is one of my favorite people. Boom Heron, one of my favorite people. Boom made me so much better when he's on scout team going against him. And then obviously he knew he was going to be productive. Love both those guys. And it's just, yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of layers to it. It's not as simple as, the more I thought about it yesterday, it's not as simple as, oh, well, the rule's dumb. Yeah, it is dumb, but I don't like also going 65 and 270. I think everyone goes 80, so why don't we just bump it up to 75?
Yeah.
You know? And that, but if I get pulled over and I tell a cop that, he's going to be like, that's okay, take it up with somebody else. Here's your ticket. Now, how we act in the society is okay, and you pay the ticket. No, I'm saying, like, but how you act in a society is you pay said ticket and go forward. There's a whole lot of people in certain generations who are like, no, this is dumb, and now I'm going to go to the nth degree.
This is a statewide test of the Ohio Emergency Alert System, originating from the State Emergency Operations Center in Columbus. This is only a test. The Ohio Emergency Alert System has been designed to provide the public with timely warnings and emergency information. Had this been an actual emergency, you would have received instructions and information related to that emergency over this and other stations in your...
Threes and Uncle Bo. If you know, you know. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
You know, Threes, we can give records back, you can put stats back, you can put trophies back. We have no control, and neither does Ohio State, on legacy.
No, how people will
love
view
and
you.
Fondness.
Yeah.
That's something that is earned.
Yeah.
That is something. I'll tell you, that day when Devere Posey was announced, he had one of the loudest ovations.
Oh, yeah.
His senior day against Penn State. He had one of the loudest ovations.
So,
because the way he carried himself.
Yeah.
Same with Boom Heron.
Yep.
I think Terrell's is much more complicated.
It is. It is. I think Terrell is probably looked at differently if he sticks it out and doesn't. I mean, I don't know. It's all. I'm not going to.
Well, remember, he was suspended in the NFL.
That's true. Yeah. NFL said, no, you're not.
The NFL suspended him for 5 games. They upheld the NCAA penalty.
Gosh, the NCAA had to feel like they had a ton of power then. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine the NCAA looking over and be like, ha, ha, see? They upheld our suspension. Yep. We have power.
Oh, my gosh. Look at it. Look at how quickly it's all slipped away.
I know.
But the NFL didn't want to wreck that.
No.
They didn't want to be a get-out-of-jail-free card for people who broke NCAA rules.
No, the NFL wants
they
to.
Want to keep
they
that
want to
relationship.
Set precedent. They, yeah, that was, they set precedent there. They wanted to say, no, you're not just going to, if you get in any kind of legal trouble or school trouble, you're not just going to bounce up here, get, you know, free deal. So,
I mean, he was a great player here.
Yeah.
He was a great player here.
Yeah.
The position that you were in as a senior was an impossible one. The next year that culminated with the win over Oregon in the Rose Bowl led you going into the next season to go, holy cow, this kid is, he's going to be Vince Young on steroids.
Right.
Like, that's what we thought.
That's what I thought
that,
when he was a
that
freshman.
Oregon game.
I thought he could develop into Vince Young, and he certainly had the frame.
Yep.
You know, and a mean stiff arm and would just eat up stripes.
Yes,
that,
he would.
That damn stride he had.
Long stride, all of those things. He was one of those guys that I often want. I think back on him from time to time, and I wonder how would it have been different if he had gone to Michigan and he had played in that spread for Rich Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I think about if he were recruited at Urban Meyer and he played in a spread. We weren't running that then.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Beanie Wells was behind him. You guys would go I formation on first and second down, spread on third.
Yeah,
like it was a completely different approach to offensive football at that time. But I think the last part's tricky, and I think you can put in statements and you can restore legacy and school records, but that doesn't necessarily mean that when you return, there will be ovation.
Right.
We don't control that. You know?
Yeah.
Fandom controls that.
So who controls
this?
Control that. I mean, technically, it's Ohio State. Whether they put the records back. Does it have to go to the NCAA?
Absolutely.
NCAA doesn't have any power anymore.
NCAA has no power. No. Ohio State could restore those records. They could put the Sugar Bowl championship back. They could claim those wins again. I don't know if they could control the wins because that's in the official NCAA record book. But, you know, people claim national championships that aren't won on the field. So what's the difference?
Yeah. It's true.
So you can do all those things. Tress is beloved here. Tress is beloved. I do think that these kids... They're grown men now. but that their discretion was severely penalized, severely. Because not only was what happened to them on the field, they were almost evaporated from the consciousness of the Buckeye fan, but also they got all of the blame for Tress.
Yeah.
Like what, you know, they were blamed for Tress's dismissal.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
Yep.
Right? That's a lot that they've had to shoulder. And I hope that they do find some peace with it. I think that it's, you can't legislate fondness, though. You can't legislate love, and you can't legislate legacy. That's something that the fan gives you or the fan does not. And you or I or Ohio State can't make that whole. That's something that has to come organically,
yeah.
quite frankly.
Yeah.
So it's a complicated one, to say the least. Complicated summer for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Tragedy added into that in the last couple of weeks, obviously, as well. Comments from Patrick Liney yesterday. So there's a lot going on the Jackets front. It's our third big 20 questions. Can Yarmo and JD jumpstart the rebuild in what I think is the most important month in the history of the franchise? We get into that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The linebacker, the legend, the liquor cabinet. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, second hour here on a First Friday. Question number three. You guys did you did Haskins yesterday?
We did.
Where did you guys come out on that real quick before we get to the Jackets
side? So the specific question being, will Dwayne Haskins rejuvenate his career in Pittsburgh? In Pittsburgh. So then we got into a giant debate, and I'll get your take on this real quick. How do you define, what do you consider a rejuvenated career? Because it became, and our thinking was, when you're a top 15 pick, there's a thinking that you're a starting quarterback. Some would say a franchise quarterback. And so, does that what you mean? Like, to say, hey, he rejuvenated his career, is that he's Pittsburgh's franchise quarterback after Ben? Is it, what if he's a career backup for 12? What if he realizes, you know what, I'm not going to be a starter, but I'm going to humble myself and I'll hop around and be a good backup, a good locker room guy for 10, 12 years. Is that rejuvenation? So I landed on that. I think that he, what I said, that what I considered rejuvenated, and I think that he will, is that he beats out Mason Rudolph this fall and that he ends up being the backup, and he'll be given the chance to start and become the starter in Pittsburgh. I'm taking a leap of faith with him because I think Mike Tomlin wants to see him succeed. I think Mike Tomlin really wants him to be a really good story and is interested in developing the man, Dwayne, as well as the quarterback. Now, I could be seeing with my scarlet and gray glasses on, but that's what I deemed rejuvenation.
I would deem that as well. And that's, I mean, I didn't listen to the show. Obviously, I was doing other things yesterday, so I didn't hear your guys' conversation. But that's exactly how I would define it. That rejuvenation for him, a career renaissance, a restart, is defined as next season in Pittsburgh, after Ben retires, he's the guy they give the first shot to. That's how I would define it.
Yep.
And I actually think with Haskins, it's a real feast or famine. Because what we have seen from him as a pro is not someone who, to me, looks willing to do the things that are required to be a 10-year backup quarterback.
Right. Right.
I don't think he's capable of that.
Right.
So I think he's either a starter or he's out of the league.
Yes.
I don't think that there's an in-between for him based on what we've seen from him.
If he doesn't beat out Mason Rudolph,
the choices he makes,
he might not be in the league anymore.
That's where I'm at, because I think, you know, I mean, he could be Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
You know, pretty quickly. The gravity of this situation is enormous for him.
Let's think about that. Paxton Lynch must have been some kind of way in the locker room.
Yeah.
To where he's a first-round pick, obviously talented, really talented. Yep. Denver couldn't have been the only team thinking, oh, yeah, this is...
Jerry wanted him. He didn't want Dak.
Yes.
They tried to go get him.
So, but he must have been so bad in the locker room to where you're out the league. Because usually when you have that kind of talent and that kind of grade, somebody's willing to take a flyer on you and just say, you know what? Let's just bring him in. Let's see.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the risk.
So I think you have it right. I think that he will get every opportunity to be what you said he would be.
I'm just dumbfounded because everyone from Pittsburgh, I mean, even when you were out on vacation, we had Tom Reed on. And then with Brooke Price, everyone from Pittsburgh, Dwayne will have an opportunity, but they are really high.
They like Rudolph.
They like Rudolph. What the heck have they seen to make you go, that's next?
I don't know. I don't know. In a division that has Lamar, Baker, and Joe. I don't know.
One is not like the other.
No, certainly not. All right, today we land on the Jackets. And boy, what a month this is.
Mm.
Over the course of the next month, they will make draft picks. They will make decisions on a trade for Seth Jones, more likely.
Did you see on that front that the Blackhawks traded away Duncan Keith, and the Blackhawks were one to be rumored interested in Seth Jones when you were gone? I just wanted to make sure you saw that.
If you read Porty, which I know you do, and Porty will join us here in about 15 minutes.
I think I am just sitting at home twiddling my thumbs, doing nothing.
If you read Porty, he basically said exactly that. That they got to trade Duncan Keith first. Now the money matches, and so the Blackhawks would be a team. But I think there's a lot of factors in this. Will Seth sign an extension? You know, you always think about Colorado because it's where he learned to skate and all of that. And would you know, that's a cup contender, obviously.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to live in Denver?
It's home.
Gosh,
that's right. All of those things are true. So we made the point a couple of months ago, and I still feel pretty good about it. That actually the straightest line to a rebuild is trading Seth Jones. That they can't build this around him. Based on who's on the roster.
Yeah.
Based on the assets that are available. Based on what you can bring in here and the inability to sign free agents here. So you really can't build something significant with Seth. So perhaps the best way to actually build this right is to trade him. And that's probably what's going to happen. It'll happen pretty quickly, I would think, before the draft. So that's the first part of it. The other part of it is, how do we maximize what we have? And this is, by the way, and Porty lined this out pretty well, this is the third straight one of these. You know, I mean, this is Panarin and Bob and all of that, and that was a little different circumstance. And then it's Josh Anderson, who we saw in the Stanley Cup Final, and then it's PLD. Now, Seth wasn't as demanding as the others. He simply wants to become a free agent, which is his right as a pro. The other two said, Josh was soured by the negotiation. PLD said, I'm not done with Torts. I'm done. I'm out. So those things all have happened, and now here you go, and you're facing a rebuild. Now, the good news is you have a guy in John Davidson who is a master at this.
Yeah.
He didn't get to do it here the first time because we're a little better off than I think he thought we were. But he's going to get a chance to do it here now. He did it in St. Louis. He's doing it in New York before he was fired because they were a little not happy with how long it was taken. But he'll have a chance to do it. And Jarmo Kekalainen is elite at talent evaluation. Elite.
Yep.
So you will have the opportunity. You add to that now the Line 8 comments from yesterday where he said, I guess everyone should have the same rules, but of course you always hope that you can make the best possible use of your own strengths. Tortorella gave me no freedom, gave no freedom to anyone. So this goes back to a point that we talked about a lot, which was the Tortorella way almost became the Blue Jackets way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have those big hulking forwards, those physical guys who want to do the dirty work, we don't have those guys and you don't want to change, last season happens.
Mm. It's so I'm torn on this because you've seen certain players, PLD, right? PLD hasn't come out and said that it was Torts, right? There's been no...
So Porty said that in one of his stories. We'll ask him about it.
Yeah.
I did read that in one of his stories that he didn't want to play for Tortorella.
Yeah, which was what
we
all...
come out and said.
Yes, we all assumed that. Yeah. Yes, we all... Yeah, that's what we all thought. But I think also it is a... So how does it change? There's also this like extra, there's this other thing too that Laine described himself that he wasn't himself this year. Now, is it because of that? When you get traded over, Bo, and maybe your first impression of the new organization, new city, you don't really get to know the city because of COVID restrictions, right? Like just think of, just put yourself in his skates and you're sitting there and you're probably uneasy because you just got traded. You think, well, at least Columbus wants me. But then what you think you do best doesn't jive with what the coach wants. And then obviously his style of coaching is aggressive, right? And so there can, it's easy for bitterness to creep in in athletics. There's pride everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And then are you really giving your full effort? Are you really giving everything you have? Where's your mental state in all of this? We see it with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers talks about his mental health this offseason, how he's getting it right. Why? Because it's messed with him mentally that he knows his franchise wants to move off from him or wanted to, and then he won the MVP. They drafted the guy, and so it's his disloyalty, and maybe he's reading more into it than not, but it still is there in the back of your mind, and you can't get it out. So Liney felt suffocated. And does now, so you could say, who cares? You're getting paid. Go play as hard as you can. Sure. But to him, if I can't be myself out here on the ice, then what am I doing? So I see it both ways. I do. I just wonder now how, so going forward, right? This is all about going forward. How do they jumpstart this thing? You need him to be a guy. So do we have a whole new system? How's Coach Larson with all this? You know, how's this going to rub Coach Larson that a guy is now talking about a guy he used to work for out in the media publicly? How's that going to be handled? Is that a phone call from him saying, hey, we keep this stuff in house? Do you let it go? It's just a whole lot happening when it comes to this specific situation.
A lot of layers, Coach.
And then you talk about Seth, and then you talk about how's the emotional toil of Matisse Kivlenik's death weigh on Manny Legacy, weigh on Larson himself, weigh on Elvis Merzlikins, who was his good, dear friend, him and his wife, who are there. There's a whole lot of layers jumping into this offseason that was already so important for the Jackets and how long this rebuild will take. That turned into, okay, well, now one of our most recognizable players in Patrick Laine comes out and talks bad about the former coach. Okay, is it just that? Is it just torts? It's nothing bad about Columbus. Whew. All right. Right? Like, that's how I felt reading it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, bad torts. All right. Please say nothing bad about the city. Please say nothing. Okay, great.
Right.
All right. You know,
right.
That's where we are as Jacka fans.
Oh, yeah.
And then obviously the tragedy of what happened with Kivlenik. It's just, this is a whole lot being stacked up on this organization. And so how do you push through and make it a summer that is so critical for your future? And even saying that with in hindsight of the tragedy to Matisse just seems so, it's just tough to even say, right? Like, how do you get this summer right when you have that tragedy lingering over the franchise? It's, man, it's just a lot.
I think, you know, for the sake of this conversation, the conversations we're having about team building, you almost have to separate. And I know that that's almost impossible, but you have to try and separate the incredible tragedy and the senselessness of it and from what their job is here. Because there's the grief, the hockey community is grieved with you, but the hockey community, it's just like when you lose a loved one, right? You grieve. It means it hits you at home, but then the rest of the world moves on.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, wow, I'm still grieving.
Oh, yeah.
But the rest of the world goes. And
moves on
and
fast,
and on
too.
We go.
Moves on fast.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly. And you're like, wow, I got to jump on this treadmill, and or else I'm going to get left behind, and wait, I'm not ready to. And that's probably where this franchise is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, holy cow, that is just such a senseless, tragic loss, and you're reeling. But we've got an expansion draft, and we've got an actual draft, and we've got free agency, and we got to deal Seth Jones.
Yeah.
We got to get a lot back. So how do you...
Yeah.
That's... It's a lot.
It's heavy,
it's
man.
A lot.
It's a lot
and
of heavy stuff. Knows, and
it is. Yeah.
It's... Yeah. It's a lot. It's, there's really no way to sum it up. And so Porty can help us.
Yeah. Well, we'll have him help. That's why he's the best. He'll join us coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Always imitated, never duplicated. Your Heritage Sports Talker and flagship home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Two legends, one show.
Well, it's all a lie.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. If you need some fresher water in your house, you need to check out KineticalColumbus.com, Kinetical Water Systems. They will help you whether you're on well, whether you're on city water. They'll get rid of those hard water spots and have you enjoying some nice soft water, pure water. Check them out, ConnecticutColumbus.com.
All right, time to head out on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline for a visit with our good buddy Aaron Portsline. Covers the Jackets for The Athletic. He's the best. Hey, pal, this was already, I think, the most critical summer in the history of the franchise, considering how far we are into it. And you could dispute that, I suppose, with some other summers that have happened. But this feels quite significant anyway. And then incredible tragedy hits. And the thing about incredible tragedy is when you suffer it, you're probably not through the grieving, but the rest of the world moves on. How are JD and Yarmo and the organization handling that juggling act, which is so very difficult?
Yeah, well, good to be with you guys. It's flat awful, and I think for the first couple of days, the large portion of last week, I think the hockey stuff was put on hold. I think John Davidson's taking kind of a lead role behind the scenes on it, because the GM, like you said, the hockey world doesn't stop churning, and it's coming into what's going to be just a chaotic 2.5 week stretch here. So they held their amateur meetings last week. They're spending considerable time this week finalizing their protected list for the expansion draft, wondering how creative they're willing to get there. But yeah, it knocks everything to the back burner when you go through something as awful as they did with the passing of Matisse Kiveniex.
Porty, I'm wondering here. I saw Patrick Laine's comments. I know you did as well. And when you have PLD situation saying, we're all assuming it was something to do with Torts, and he couldn't play for him. He didn't want to play for him. He wanted to move on. And then Laine basically saying that he felt restricted, like he couldn't be himself, and that he felt there's a fine line of playing within the team structure, but also having the freedom to be yourself as a player. How is that being viewed in the hockey world and by the Blue Jackets? I'm wondering, because Larson's obviously his own guy, he's new, but it's also airing stuff up about the old coach. And I'm just wondering how it's being viewed by the Blue Jackets with Patrick Laine's comments.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm not sure that they put too much weight in them. I mean, I think they were all on the same page last season, and it was Tortorella's, if you remember, Tortorella's demand was to make Patrick Laine an all-around player. You've got this guy with a big frame. Use your frame. I think there were demands made of him that are no different than other players, really. I sometimes think that Patrick Laine believes that his shot, and it is awesome, is a get out of jail free card for other stuff that you're not so keen on doing.
Yeah.
And Tortorella's thing was no, you're going to battle for the puck like everybody else is. You're not just going to sit at the dot with your stick in the air waiting for everybody else to retrieve the puck and set you up. That's not how it can't work that way here. And I go back to when Ken Hitchcock took over here in Columbus, and Rick Nash was not in any way in the form of Patrick Laine, but the first thing Hitchcock did was put Rick Nash on the penalty kill, which was scoffed at and giggled at around the league. Rick Nash killing penalties? He's never killed penalties. And Nash took it the right way. And by the end of his career, he's one of the best penalty killers in the league. Don Tortorella is tried to do to Patrick Laine what Winnipeg tried to do with Patrick Laine and eventually just gave up, which was you can't just stand there and bomb shots all day. I know it's what you love to do, but they need him to be an all-around hockey player, and he can't be this alpha dog leader that he thinks he wants to be unless he's willing to incorporate all levels of effort into his game. And I don't think that changes with a different coach, to be honest with you. I think the change that needs to be made is with Patrick Laine, not with coaches.
Well, does the change need to be made with him not here then, Porty? Obviously, he'd be selling for about a nickel on the dollar based on the season he had.
Yeah, well, see, I don't know that you would. I think it's tough to move him because everyone's so tight up against it this year. But I don't. Sure. I think people look at Patrick Laine and still see, my God, that there is incredible potential there. The kid has had I think he's had a 40-point season. I think people see him as a potential 50-goal scorer in the right situation. And I've been told that if the trade is there, they'll move him this summer. They're not absolutely wedded to the idea of building around him. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if he moves. I don't think it's for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if Patrick Laine moves again.
I mean, it's like kind of like what we used to tell my guy. So I played with Blake Wheeler growing up, you know, and all Blake wanted to do was just cherry pick up on the red line, you know, and I was right. A defenseman. I'm like, Blake, you got to come back. I can't flip you a saucer hand, every time. You know what I mean? Come back in our zone. It's good to see that he's a little more well-rounded now. Porty, I wanted to ask Seth Jones, you know, reading your stuff, kind of the dominoes are starting to fall. Duncan Keith moving from the Jet, from the Blackhawks. Is this kind of par for the course? Is this where you expect him to end up in Chicago?
I think Chicago becomes a major consideration now. I think they were on the list to begin with. I mean, you know, Keith's making 5.5. He's off the books. Jones is making 5.4. Pretty good swap right there. You know, I think, it depends on who you talk to. There's the one sense out there that the end-all, be-all of this discussion is where will Seth Jones sign an extension, because that's going to lead to a sweeter return for the Blue Jackets. So, you know, that is Seth Jones controlling his trade destination, even though he doesn't have much control. He has a 10-team no-trade list, but that leaves 21 teams that they can trade him to. The flip side of this is I've also heard there are teams in this that aren't worried about signing Seth Jones to an extension necessarily, but they want him. They feel like they are at the cusp and able to win it. I hear Colorado when I hear this tale.
Sure.
And they'll worry about next year. They think Seth Jones is the piece that can get them over. Is their desire to... So you're talking about a trade deadline rental, essentially, but a year early. So if David Savard got the Blue Jackets a first and a third with a month left in the season, what does a team give you for Seth Jones with an entire season to play? I think they could still get a pretty good return, and maybe we need to be careful saying the only really good return they can get is from a team that wants to sign him to an extension.
Porty, I'll get you out of here on this one, because the question that we're answering here today is how do you jumpstart what we think will be, and I'm on record as being for it. I'm for a down-to-the-screws rebuild. I think that's what the organization needs. I think JD wants to do that. He's done it in St. Louis. He's done it in New York before he was aborted there. But certainly, I think that's what everybody's kind of – I think the people who have been around the organization want it. What do they have to come away with this summer to do that?
Yeah, so to me, the biggest thing and the toughest part of this is at the start is defining what you want to do, and you can't be 1 foot in and 1 foot back. It's got to be full bore. And so when the return comes for Seth Jones, if you're doing what you're talking about, down to the screws, then you're not looking for the 28-year-old forward, and you're not looking for the two or three pretty good players. You're looking for big-time prospects and big-time draft picks. That's it. And you'll patch a roster together for this season, but you're really worried about loading this franchise up with elite young talent and restarting it, which is, I think, maybe the word that is going to start being used here rather than rebuild or retool. It's restarting. Who wants to stay? Cam Atkinson, you're a veteran player. You up for this? If you're not, let us know, and we'll make a move here, maybe at this coming trade deadline. Zach Werenski, where are you at? Next summer, you're an RFA, still an RFA, so we still have club control. But what do you want to do? And if you're not thinking of being here long term, then what are we waiting for? And I think they need to become the aggressor here, dictate what they're doing and how they're doing it and be very clear about it. I think there are ways you can do it. I think it works best, and Bo, we've talked about this, the power that they have right now is John Davidson and Jarmo Kekalainen both have major term, 5 years and 4 years. That's basically telling you to use that use your term for patience here. You can build this the right way. But I think there needs to be, they need to start hitching their star to different names here and building it up the right way. They've also got to change some stuff behind the scenes to keep this from being recurring. But these next 2.5-3 weeks, guys, are going to be dizzying, I think is the word. It's going to be crazy.
It will be. We're glad to have you on it, my friend. Great job in very tough circumstances the last 10 days as well. Appreciate having you on, bud.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks as always.
All right. That is the great Aaron Portz line of the Athletic. So he said a lot there. And that leads the next question, which we do when we tackle these questions. What if they don't get it right? Can they afford not to? We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
You think that during a 3-hour radio show, Man and Bone would say something intelligent? You'd be wrong. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. Two guys who love to see it. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
It begs the question then, when you talk to Cordy, you think about how important the next 3 weeks are going to be, how nervy they're going to be, what's at stake. I think he's right in the attitude of, you know, they got to get on the offensive with this. This is what we're doing. You want to use a restart as the tagline, that's fine. It's what it is. Mm. It's a build. It's a build right way. It's what the Browns did.
Yeah.
The Browns went 1-31. Now, they had 70 years of history, a city that bleeds it, that would put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. Mm-hmm. It was hard even in the moment. It's hard to be a player.
Yeah.
When an organization is doing that, it's hard to be a fan when an organization is doing that. It's hard to stew amongst losing. But it is necessary. Now, it's not as straight a line as it is in the NFL.
Right.
If you pick number one, you're going to get Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the pick of those quarterbacks that were available. NHL is a much bigger crapshoot. You got a lottery. The first pick isn't always Austin Matthews. Even if it is Austin Matthews, sometimes you can't win a round like Toronto. So, or like McDavid with the Oilers. It's really hard in that sport. I think you have the right people to do it. You ask the question, can the organization afford not to get it right? That's tricky.
Mm.
That's tricky.
That's tough. I don't think they can.
Can you withstand a bunch of misses? I don't know.
I don't know either. And I think, Bo, to be honest, what's unique about it is you have this magical series against the Lightning. You back it up with the bubble playoff win with against the Leafs. But it's a weird year because of the bubble. And then you have this year where there's some attendance allowed, right? So it's limited attendance. So with everything opening back up, I'm assuming this winter in NHL arenas, what's the support look like? And already a place that even when they're rolling, you know, it's not like it's a Tuesday night game is different than a Saturday game. You know, it's not one of those places where it's like Toronto where it's, or it's going to be popping, you know? So I guess I'm just wondering, like, I guess it'll be a case study this winter because there's not expectations that they'll be great. It's a rebuild. And if no one is, you know, if the attendance is down a little bit and you've lost interest in the team as far as, you know, basically not having a playoff contender, Can the franchise sustain that for multiple years? It's going to take multiple years for this team to be back to where you want it. And back to where you want it is you're doing the rebuild to become a cup contender, not just to flirt with the eighth seed. That's the perspective. But if you don't even get back to the eighth seed, I'm not sure. I don't know. I guess what's the alternative?
I don't think you could have done it. I don't think you could have done this a decade ago.
No.
I think you can do it now. I think 20 years
in town. You can strip it down now. Yeah, you can stretch it.
I think you can. I think the people who love it will understand it.
Yep.
I think that there can be, it's dangerous, one of the questions we'll get into is how big, you know, Cavs and Blue Jackets kind of walking in this at the same spot. Cavs in a better spot in that they have some young assets already in the fold. But you play a lot of relevant nights, and you have to take the little joys of, you know, for them, it's, you know, a 40-point night from Colin Sexton.
Like right.
You have to look at that and go, well, that's a win.
Right.
Even if you're losing amongst it.
Right.
And that will be the challenge.
Yeah.
That will be the challenge. But yeah. I don't see any other way.
Right.
Because patching it together to chase the 8 seed is not sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I was thinking about this. We were talking to Porty, like, all right, so you got to trade Seth. You're open to trading Line A. You've already traded PLD and Josh Anderson. Like, when you think about PLD, Anderson, Jones, Werenski, and one of the goalies, 2 years ago you said, that's the core. That's the Columbus Blue Jackets.
And now they're all, we still have Cam and Zach.
Now they're all going to be gone in 2 years.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. So that's tricky.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and you've tried to patch it together to limited results. Some great moments, but not sustained.
Right.
So, you know, Seth Jones then become the get back for Seth. I have no interest in, like Porty said, a 28-year-old NHL player.
No.
Second line guy. No. No.
No.
Nope.
No.
Prospects and picks. That's all I want.
Yep.
Prospects and picks.
Yep. Let's bring all these guys up together. That's basically, you're investing in a new core.
Yes. And you have to, I think, so when I
the
ask
the hardest thing is, like, we don't know the names of the guys who will be our core going forward. You hope it's Elvis Merzlikins, right? Or, you know, and some of the young players that you've already seen glimpses of. We expected, jumps out of Alexander Texier, right? And there's Liam Foudy. Like, there's some guys that we've seen that you think, oh, I hope they continue to jump and develop. But, and I'm sure there's more that I'm missing. You know what I mean? But the point is, like, we've seen some, but they have to, for the most part, a lot of our future core, and you hope future stars, you can't put a face to it yet.
I think the other, great point. I think that, so when I asked Porty that question, what needs to happen this summer? I think one franchise or two franchise cornerstones has to be acquired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Two guys that you look at and go, okay, that's, now you don't, it doesn't have to be Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
But you need to find another PLD.
Yeah.
You need to find another Josh Anderson. You need to replace those guys.
Yeah.
That's the job of the summer. And that's why it's such a fascinating next couple of weeks. We hit Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here in the Fan.
The offseason is a myth. Serving you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to feed your sports addiction. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Well-dressed, well-spoken, but never, ever a well-drink.
How about chaos?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time for a little Thing or Not a Thing. Chopper's here. Hit a chopper.
Bishop and Laurinaitis. Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Geico Insurance.
All right, here we go on a first Friday from Pierre LeBrun. There's a growing sense that the Predators might leave Matt Duchene unprotected in the expansion draft. He's got 5 more years on his deal worth $8 million average annual value. Thing or not a thing?
Boy, that's a crazy one. I mean, he was one of those guys we acquired, and he liked it here. He just wanted to be around country music. He
wanted to be in Nashville. I'll take less. Don't move me.
Yeah.
I'll take less.
Yeah. So, you know, I would say that if you love the country music, Seattle's about as far away from that as you can get.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
You know, Porty said it. This will be a really interesting summer for the NHL because everybody's up against it from a money standpoint. You've got this expansion franchise that we saw what happened with Vegas. If done right, you can be a contender right away.
Yeah. It's very interesting. What's his why? Would he be actually asking for a pay cut? Say, no, I'll stay here. Like, don't send me to Seattle. Although, listen, I love Nashville. You know I love Nashville.
I do.
A lot sunnier there. Mild winters. The only negative is, you know, if they have snow in the forecast, everyone freaks out. You know, buy all the milk and bread you can. And like,
right.
The grocery stores aren't running out. Like, anyway, they don't know how to handle snow. It's actually quite pathetic. But it's sunny in the winter. Seattle, you ain't seeing the sun. You're not seeing the sun, but you will get some fresh salmon. So I don't know. There's pros and cons, man. Maybe it's not all bad, Matt. Maybe it's not all bad.
How much time have you spent in Seattle?
A whole lot of L's out there.
Just game days.
Yeah, but we listen, every time we played a game out there, we flew out 2 days early because it's an extra long flight. So we had basically a free day. Same in college when we played the Huskies. And then I also went out there and did a camp for David Bora, one of my teammates. Oh,
okay, you got a little familiarity there.
Yeah, so I spent a week. I really spent like 5 days out. I mean, I have a lot of familiarity with out there, yeah.
Yeah, great town. It's a great town.
Love it.
Former Rams receiver Isaac Bruce told CBS Sports that he and Torrey Holt are the best wide receiver duo of all time. When asked about the Vikings duo of Randy Moss and Chris Carter, Bruce answered, quote, "We won a Super Bowl."
All right, Ike.
Thing or not a thing?
Flex on him then, buddy.
Good job out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a ring. Matter of fact, when we got our ring, we actually beat the Vikings on the way.
Yeah.
With those two on the roster. So these things are so hard. These things are so hard, right? I mean, talk about duos. There's so many factors in it, but they were incredible. A little bob and weave.
You know what I would say?
But you know, I'm not taking them over Moss and Carter. That's my home.
Those are our guys.
That's my childhood guys. I mean, what are we talking about?
I think that this is a great example of what happens with Bruce and Holt when your franchise leaves. Because if Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt, if the St. Louis Rams are still the St. Louis Rams, or if they were always L.A. Rams,
yeah,
like this wouldn't even be something that I think that you would even push back on much.
Yeah.
I think they are right there.
Yep.
They're right there.
Yep.
They are very accomplished, both statistically, wins, dominance.
Yep.
Kind of changed the way the league was played.
Yep.
The way that they played. But because they played for the St. Louis Rams, who no longer exist,
yeah,
there isn't anybody carrying water for them.
Right.
I think that that's true of that entire era. You know this personally, but I mean, I think that sometimes people forget, like, who Marshall Faulk was.
Right.
Like, oh, gosh,
I know. I know.
And people like, I don't know if people carry water for him the way they should.
Yeah, nothing to see there with the NFL and their relocation stuff either.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you said
that. You got taped recordings of the Maras and the Rooneys and Goodell. Let's just all pretend. We don't know about Stan's. I mean, Stan tells him, 5 years earlier that he's going to buy land and build in L.A.? And then they come out in the Super Bowl years later and say, well, we don't know anything about. Okay.
Let's do this. Let's table a little. Let's get into that a little bit at 11, because you sent me that on Sunday, and I want to get a little into that a little bit. We'll get into that at 11. Go ahead, Chubbs.
Eight NFL teams now have 85% of their players vaccinated. A thing or not a thing?
They've incentivized it, so that's they've made.
I got a question, Bo.
This is job one.
I got a question. So if you and I guarantee anyway. So if you got the Pfizer vaccine and now they're coming out with the third shot, if you only have one and two, do you still get the incentivized options through the fall, or is it different for the third poke? And what if you have the Moderna that doesn't require? Are these two specific questions for the league?
I don't know. Is my answer for it is I don't know.
I don't think they know. I think they don't want to even touch it.
I think it's
just like, you know what? Just get the vaccine. Here are your incentives. What about all these? Don't worry about it. Are you vaccinated? Sure. When did you get vaccinated? January? Does it last 6 months or is it 3 years now? I don't know. Did you get vaccinated? Sure. Here's your incentive. I think that's where they're at.
I think so, too. I think it could end up being to the point where by the time you get to the season where it's like when you go into a store now,
we're
trusting you and the honor system that you've been vaccinated and no one's wearing a mask and you know 50% of the people aren't.
Right.
You go, well, this is where we're at. I think that's by the time you get to the season, I think that's possible that it's like that.
Yeah.
John Diebler will be Carmen's crew representative in the basketball tournament's 33-point contest. Each team selects a shooter. That guy gets one rebounder. They shoot until they make 11 three-pointers. 64-shooter bracket-style challenge. Winner gets $33,333.
Oh,
threes.
Yes.
Thing or not a thing?
Well, then, of course, Diebs is gonna win it. I mean,
if I were him, I would already be investing the $33,333.
Of course.
Like, if he doesn't win it, it's the biggest failure of his life. He doesn't I say that because I love him and I just saw him 2 days ago. But, like, if there was ever a competition built for a human to win, it's this competition.
No doubt.
For him.
Yep.
Like, this is.
Threes himself.
He's the best shooter I've ever seen.
Making it rain.
That's it.
Yep. Meant to be.
So you got to make 11? That should never take you more than 12 shots.
I don't bet, you know, on sports, but John, this is going to get me to bet. All right? I'm actually going to bet the mortgage on you. So I hope hope you pull through for me, bud.
That's right.
Last,
be interesting to know that he doesn't have a mortgage, John, but nevertheless. Okay.
Last one for you. At least two Wimbledon matches are under investigation for allegedly being fixed, according to a report by a German newspaper. I'm not even going to. Debate? Is that what we're going to go with?
Die, just say it like that. It just
die,
seems angry.
Wait.
You say anything.
The investigation.
Anything in German just seems angry.
The investigation was launched after several very specific and suspicious bets took place surrounding matches during the tournament earlier in July.
Here it
thing
is.
Or not a thing.
Tennis is a hoax. All of it. Shut it down.
Jeez.
It's a good thing I don't bet on tennis.
AR, boy, that...
Yeah, I gotta ask AR about this.
At least two Wimbledon matches under investigation for being... Well, good. It's good. All right. These are going to happen. These things are going to happen.
What do you think would be more surprising? A Wimbledon match would be rigged or like an MMA fight? I'd be more surprised at Wimbledon.
I think it's easier...
MMA, it's easy.
Easier to throw a tennis match than it is to just let yourself get beat up.
Put me in some submission, and I'll tap out. And
one shot. Who is the guy?
I'm Conor McGregor. Now I can. Hey, guess what? We need a fourth fight. Pay me millions. Okay, sure. All right.
Who was the guy who took the fall for the Paul kid? The guy took the fall for the Paul kid.
Did you see he had his robot
on
stage for one of these press conferences?
That's an easy thing to do. I think that's really easy. I think tennis is kind of hard to
We need to get Rock and Robbie Carpenter against Paul going. Mm-hmm. That's what we need.
Well, I would like that. I would be for that. You mentioned the Rams got new uniforms. It was interesting who they chose to unveil them with. And one of the things that you saw in the video, one of the things that was absent, shouldn't be a surprise based on the story that you talked about. We will get into that coming up next. Plus, the governor could be weighing in and to help the city of Cleveland to keep the baseball team up there. We will get to all of that coming up. Little Packers talk with Rodgers as well. Big final hour here on a First Friday. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Rothman and Ice, the hardest working radio show in the business. This may offend our other shows, but honestly, they're too lazy to care.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Meet or on the rocks. Just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Boy, this is pretty interesting here. Did you see this announcement from Nebraska?
I did not. I was still laughing at Reeser's off the top rope about Mac Media Days, if anyone's interested.
Yeah, that was.
What's happening in Nebraska?
Well, first of all, news of the day in the area, Frank Solich stepping down. There is, reading some of the reporting on this, rumors that this was kind of been whispered behind the scenes that he would that this could be his last year in 2021, but maybe that he would finish this year. But he is stepping down immediately. Albin in now. He's been there since 2005. So
yeah, not interim. We need to correct that. Not interim. I remember I said it earlier, but actually becoming
head coach.
Yep.
Head coach. 4-year contract to be the head coach. And so hopefully that'll keep on. I think it's almost impossible to overstate the job, the quality of the job Frank Solich did down there.
Oh, gosh.
Stunning. Uh-huh. Stunning level of success from where that program was to what he turned it into on the regular basis. And in my view, his name needs to be either on the stadium or near the stadium or in the stadium permanently because it's that good of a job that was done. So all sorts of respect to Coach Solich down at Ohio for everything he did there. His alma mater, Nebraska, with an interesting announcement today as well. This in the last half hour or so. Jonas, and welcoming back one of our own to the Big Red family, Trev Alberts, your new athletic director at Nebraska.
Mm.
Now, are you old enough to remember what he did before he got into athletic administration? He's famous for several things.
No, I do not remember.
Okay.
He
was an all-time great football player at Nebraska. He's famous for the guy in the Mel Kiper versus Colts that went viral. The Colts took Trev Alberts.
That's right.
Kiper wanted them to take Trent Dilfer. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And he said, this is why the Colts are the Colts. And then I want to say it was it Tobin? I can't remember who was the guy who said, well, that's why, why am I care about what Mel Kiper Jr. has to say? And they played every year at the draft. So he's famous for that. His NFL career was, there were injuries and it was cut pretty short. And he was fast-tracked at ESPN. He was one of the brightest stars in the college football commentating business. He was right there. You know, it was Herbie, and then it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Mark May had a thing. And I want to say, boy, in my mind's eye, there was a controversy that had to do with him speaking out because they had – I want to say that him and Reese Davis and Mark May did, like, the college football final when that show was really important.
Yeah.
And he – they were going to travel to somewhere or something, and game day went instead, and he tried sticking up for their show, if memory serves. I'm pretty sure I have this right. And eventually they parted ways.
Mm.
And I believe – and this is all just happening, so I'm spitballing on this a little bit, so please forgive me if there are some inaccuracies. But I believe that he spent the last few years as the athletic director at Nebraska Omaha.
Yes. Yes, that is right.
Is that correct?
Yes, he was at Nebraska Omaha. Yeah.
Okay, so that is where he has been, is there. Okay, so he did. All right, so that's it. So he's been at Nebraska Omaha since 2009,
mm-hmm.
and hired today as the athletic director at Nebraska. So you say to yourself, first thing I think is, well, what does this have to do with Scott Frost?
Right.
What's their relationship? You hire a former football guy to run the athletic department.
Yep.
What are those two guys? Do they get along?
Do they get along? Yeah. Are they? Yeah, I'm laughing because I can just see like a Scott's text message being like, "Hey, man, long time no talk. How you been? Miss you, buddy."
Yeah, you been good?
I don't know anything into their relationship. I don't. But
no, we wouldn't. No. We wouldn't because we're doing a show in Columbus, not Omaha, so I have no idea. But he's been around a long time.
Yeah.
And it's a no, pretty, dude.
I'll text.
Thing.
I got to text my buddy Kevin Kugler, who still lives in Omaha. And obviously yeah. does.
Okay, so I do have this right. So 2005, he was actually fired by ESPN for not showing up to work. He later came that he did not want to play second fiddle to the more prominent cast of College Game Day. So I did remember that, right. Like that College Game Day scoreboard show, the College Game Day final, like there was some sort of scheduling thing where they were supposed to be on the road and they were being trumped by Fowler and Herbstreit with Game Day, and he took umbrage. And ESPN said, "Well, fine. Well, we're going to keep the game day guys."
Pride's a funny thing, isn't it?
Down the road,
it's crazy.
Oh,
I just can't imagine doing that. Like, I'm all, you know, look, I know there's certain moments you got to take your stand about stuff, but it just, yeah, just doesn't really register with me. About
no,
you're getting this game and you're getting that game. Okay, you know,
control what you could control.
That's it. Keep
you
the
know,
main.
That's all you can do.
Keep the main thing, the main thing. That's all you gotta. That's what my assistant LB coaches say all the time. Joe Bowen, man, just keep the main thing, the main thing. Don't be worrying about.
Yeah.
He said, "Don't worry about the DBs or the safeties. Y'all worry about yourself. Keep the main thing, the main." Okay.
It's good advice.
It is.
In, you always knew, everything,
and you always something. Knew a kid didn't know what he. Number one thing when you're in a young kids, all right. This is for the high school kids maybe listening. They're probably none. But if you are in high school and you're a football player and you're listening, or even college, when a coach asks you, "Hey, what do you got here in this defense?" Don't start talking about the DBs or the safeties and try to work yourself back to what you got. That's the number one telltale sign.
You do you.
Yes. We have a rookie and be like, "Hey, man, what do you got here on this blitz?" Well, okay, so the end's good. And I want to know about the end. You don't know. Because I asked you, "What do you have? What do you have?" You know, and but yeah. It's funny because keep the main thing, what do you have? Do your job.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
They have, the University of Nebraska has, you know, with this hire, and, you know, they've tried everything. They tried hiring guys from Washington State. They tried hiring guys from Oregon State to coach football. They've tried everything to find somebody who can find a fit. But Alberts is a guy who obviously knows the state very well. He's a legendary football player.
Yeah.
You know, they've got Hoiberg there at basketball. They've got Frost.
So, Kevin, Kugler says,
like they can't win with this group. There's no group.
Yeah. He said, means they're still trying to harken back to the glory days. Obviously, football guy in charge. It just means stability for Big Red. That's how they're viewing it. I said, well, did he and Scott get along? That's what I'm trying That's really it. But they're viewing it as, I think for them, it's probably, hey, we finally got a Nebraska guy.
Yeah. And we got Nebraska guy coaching.
Listen, this is obvious. The last guy that was there, what were the rumors about Moose? The rumors were, this is a guy that came in all brash, right? Remember he said that Urban Meyer and Ohio State, they're shaking in their boots, you know,
right.
All that, whatever. But he was never there. He was at his ranch. Not a guy that's present or around. The coach before Scott Frost didn't know anything about Memorial Stadium or Nebraska before he got hired. So it's all these guys that were coming into a brand that didn't actually live and bleed, and you know, bleed the Nebraska, go Big Red, the whole deal. And now it's another hire trying to go that way, you know?
Yes.
So now it doesn't mean wins. I have no idea. But who knows?
I don't blame them. I think it's the best chance they have.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's the best chance they have. And I think that name, image, and likeness, when that all happened, I think they will benefit from that. Because I think there are a lot of that state has a lot of opportunity. It's a lot of opportunity in Omaha. They are the professional team of record for the entire state.
Yeah.
As big as we are, as big as Ohio State is, as big as Columbus is, the Buckeyes, and they're no question the most popular sports team in the state of Ohio overall, they're not more important in Cleveland than the Browns. They're not more important in Cincinnati than the Reds or the Bengals, right?
Yeah.
They're second everywhere.
Yep.
They're first here.
Yep.
Nebraska is first everywhere.
Everywhere. Yes.
So it's like there aren't that many like that. I suppose Arkansas is like that with the Razorbacks. There's a few of them, but there aren't that many. And Nebraska is one of them.
Yep.
So I do think, and I think that there's, that's the critical thing. The hard thing for him is going to be is if it's not Scott, then who? That's it.
Yep.
Because the warning signs around Scott with the program are remarkable.
Right.
The kids who have left, it's astonishing. Like the Wandale Robinson thing is hard to shake, quite frankly.
Yeah. And they've had others, you know, they had another wide receiver transfer, to another Big Ten school. I guess Scott, they'll get along is basically what I'm gathering, is that they will get along. But I guess, you know, you look at Scott's been very comfortable. Does he stay comfortable is my question, with another football guy coming in being like, oh, he's one of me, you know, or is this, because you can be in a locker room with a lot of different guys. Some guys are very loose. Some are buttoned up. Some are, you know what I mean? What's it?
Yeah.
Do your personalities clash? Obviously, pride, egos. It's fascinating, man. But I'm with you. I think it's a hire that says, okay, like, it's right along those same lines of, well, if not this guy, who can help me know? So get as many Nebraska people back there. Because it's a unique place. You are, like, it is a unique place. Obviously, not a lot going on over there, right? That's why you're the Cornhuskers. Not a lot happening, but there's a certain identity to it and a massive brand, and you're trying to chase those glory years.
Yeah. No, it is. It's fast. I would think he and Scott would know each other pretty well. I mean, they're not that far separated as players.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that they ever played together, but they're not that far apart as players. Scott won the national championship as the quarterback in 97. Albert's played in 93. So they're, you know, a one generation removed, you know, from a college football perspective of playing. I'm guessing they've been at, you know, alumni stuff and all of that through the years. So I'm guessing they know each other pretty well. You mentioned the Rams relocation story as that started to leak out. And I think that applies, that story applies to what Governor DeWine is trying to get out in front of with the tribe in Cleveland. So we'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here in the Fan.
Your home of the Buckeyes, Jackets, NFL, Major League Baseball, and pretty much everything you can shake a stick at.
What? It's a saying. The Fan.
Their favorite sport is berating their producer.
You just sat there for 10 minutes.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And the Basement Doctor, Cardale Jones Celebrity Softball Game, presented by Reichert Automotive, coming to Huntington Park on Saturday, July 17th. Join Buckeye greats as they swing for the fences to benefit the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. Each ticket sold gets you a chance to win a cabin on the 2022 cruise. Head to 971thefan.com for all of the information on that. So you texted, this was Sunday, I think, you texted me the thread from a radio guy in St. Louis.
My guy, Randy Carricker.
Randy.
My guy.
Yeah, if we had him on, or I know we've talked to, I feel like we've talked to him or we've mentioned him, but detailing.
My guy's on 7 to 11 now.
That's a grind.
Wow.
Don't say it out loud.
7 to 11. No, I said that's a grind.
That's enough. Yeah, we're good. detailing what happened in St. Louis with the Rams.
Yes, so St. Louis is, St. Louis City is suing the NFL, or trying to sue the NFL for damages, claiming that it was basically unlawful for them to take the team away because of the NFL's own relocation guidelines. So St. Louis is saying that the NFL and Kroenke committed willful or outrageous or reckless act versus its plaintiff's rights. So it's going, I mean, there's a whole lot here, and it's kind of scattered, and there's not, it's basically, it's not like a verbatim, but you read some of the points that he comes across here. And so there's someone from the league basically saying, I'm trying to get some terrific LA opportunities to fruition under the cover of darkness. You know, like these are things that are actually like red.
It's crazy.
Goodell held relocation guidelines in his hands and was asked, are these mandatory to abide by? And the counselor replied, it says right here that they are. In 2014, email from Kevin Demoff, who's still the president of the Rams, to the NFL, he says that the LA land story is coming out. The league responds, what should we say? Then Kevin Demoff, who's the president of the St. Louis Rams, provided talking points for Goodell to use at the Super Bowl press conference, denying he knew of land purchase by Kroenke for LA Stadium. Dave Peacock is a guy in here, a businessman in St. Louis, a bunch of different stuff. Budweiser, very well off. He was the one pushing for the St. Louis waterfront stadium on the Mississippi there. And he said that he has national rental car naming rights deal done. And it's reported that Demoff responds with a link to a YouTube video that screams, blanket, I'm out. So, I mean, it's just really weird. Like, so the guy's trying to build a stadium at St. Louis. Kevin responds with, I'm out. Like, we're gone. It's passed. In 2013, SDL has record of a phone call with Kroenke, Goodell, Mara, Rooney, where Kroenke tells the owners, I'm going to buy two parcels of land and build a stadium in LA. And says, we're trying very hard to stay under the radar and keep it hidden. Goodell says, we will respect your confidentiality. It's just like, whether anything illegal is done or not, it's just like a holy smokes. Like, it's stuff that you assumed as a player was happening. Like, you had this gut feeling that the NFL and even people within the building really wanted to go. That was obvious, but then like the public affront to it. And then to see all this stuff kind of come out, it's kind of like, whew. And then I thought it was pretty, I mean, obvious. There's two teams that voted against it. It was the Arizona Cardinals. And you think, why? Well, the Bidwells are trying to rehash taking the Arizona Cardinals out of St. Louis. So they're trying to get good favor. Yeah. No, we don't want them to leave again. St. Louis deserves a team. They're trying to mend their own thing. But
sure.
It's pretty, I mean, it keeps going on and on and on.
Cleveland was the other, I assume?
They said, actually, no, Carolina. Yep, Panthers were the other
Cleveland
team.
Cleveland did?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
Very interesting.
But anyway, it's pretty fascinating. Even the stuff where Demoff, the lawyers claim that they have proof that Demoff forwarded articles to the National Football League about the murder rate in St. Louis and the credit rating in 2015. So like it's this repeated attempt of the president of the team saying, this city is dangerous. The credit rating's going down. There's nothing here. This is more ammo for you to take us out of here.
Yep.
It was just fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is very fascinating. And it's almost like, and you sent me the Cam Akers unit, which is based, by the way, that's what they should have just
worn. By the way, that is, that should have just been. Gosh, so clean.
That's the away uniform. Like, that's the, don't wear bone or sand or whatever the hell it is. Wear that one, and then that's it. But what you see is, it's a pullback to Eric Dickerson.
Yep.
And so they also had, like, the Deacon Jones helmet in the background, I noticed. But what I didn't see is the soft gold that was in St. Louis. And it almost feels like, and I think it's a really tricky spot, but it's almost like that is almost like an expansion team that happened, that existed in that vacuum only. Like they're trying to go back, remember, because they're trying to go back to the LA roots, right?
Yep.
So remember how great it was? Remember when we had Eric Dickerson? It's not remember when we had Marshall Faulk.
No. No, there will be, it will have to be a, and I'm not sure we ever get here, but it will have to be a ways down the way. Look, I need to say this. I like Kevin Demoff. Kevin Demoff took care of me.
Yeah.
Kevin Demoff, and talking about Donovan, like, this has nothing to do with financial or contract wise. I'm just saying he was always very kind to me and my wife, and still is. Like, whenever we want to come out to a game, They're very kind. Hey, sit in the box. You know they're great.
Yep.
He's going to absolutely take the. I mean, it looks like he's the one taking the fall here. And look, he did a lot of things here that people in St. Louis are going to absolutely be fired up over, and rightfully so. But as long as he's president, there's no way they're going to do any kind of throwback to the other gold. You know what I mean? You have to think decades down the line to where LA has their team. They're comfortable knowing that they're not going anywhere again. And then they can say, well, remember in St. Louis when we used to wear these? Because these things go in cycles, but they're not going to touch that other gold for years. So there will be no Marshall Faulk. There will be no, you know.
No. Uh-uh.
The throwbacks will, I'm not even sure they'll touch the throwbacks that were a little bit different. You're absolutely right. Those should have been your jerseys right there in and of itself. Like, you crush those. That's the uniform.
Yep.
That's it. It's a modern take on what they used to wear. It's great.
That's it. This ties into Governor DeWine and the report yesterday that the governor confirmed Tuesday the city of Cleveland, Cuyahoga County leaders have approached him seeking a state assistance securing a lease extension for the tribe at Progressive Field. One of the biggest concerns surrounding the tribe not coming to an agreement on a lease would be that the team possibly moving as a result. Obviously, they've been there a very long time. This is a quote from a Cuyahoga County executive. Looking at the finances of baseball these days, if we don't do everything we can to keep them, I'm sure there'll be not just one suitor, but suitors all over the country trying to grab the Indians away from us. That is the quote. This is a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've seen this in the state of California, where they're not paying for stadiums. They're not helping. It's up to individual owners to build stadiums, to renovate stadiums. The Dolans have made a lot of money. They're very wealthy. They want a little help.
Yep.
City of Cleveland's got problems. The state of Ohio's got problems.
Yeah.
You got to be careful about what's the best use of your resources.
Yeah. There's no doubt. When all things are not created, you know, it's the open market, right? I mean, LA saying we're not willing to help California. We're not willing to pay for anything. But
nope.
Billionaires want to go there. You know, they bring a team there. Not the Indians. We're talking about the Rams' sake. Why'd Stan Kroenke want to move the team there? I mean, he gave the National Football League the highest, the biggest prize in professional sports in this country, the NFL. He gave the Billionaire Boys Club LA back.
Yep.
And gave him a second team to come in.
Did it with his own money.
Did it with his own money. His own real estate development project around it in Inglewood. The dude is turning Inglewood, California into a destination. At least his part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, the only time I had heard of Inglewood, California before that was the Forum and, like, listening to Dr.
Lakers
Dre.
Used to play there.
And Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's it.
And so...
No,
sure. But now it's going to be a place that's going to host Super Bowls, maybe the Combine. I mean, my goodness.
Very likely the Combine.
National championships. The Olympics.
Final Fours.
World Cups. I mean, all these things, man. And it's just... Anyway, it's fascinating. Did you see
so you better be careful here.
Did you see what I just sent you on IG?
No.
You want me just to read it?
I didn't.
I'll read it to you.
Yeah,
it's from Adam Schefter, so it's official. A little breaking news. Free agent cornerback Richard Sherman was booked at 6:08 this a.m. at Seattle Correctional Facility for burglary, domestic violence. Per King County public records, Sherman was also denied bail.
Mm. Jeez.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
You just get some stuff thrown. You just get stuff. Sometimes you just scroll, try to update. Did the wife post anything? You know?
Yeah. Right.
Mm.
All right. One of the big questions around the NFL this summer will be what happens with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Max Schneidman will join us on that from The Athletic coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If you're looking for the radio home of the crew, you've come to the right place.
Because if we weren't, this promo would be very stupid.
Proud to be your crew station, The Fan.
First Fridays are a thing.
Drinking bad bourbon is not a thing.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's go. Fifth caller at 821-9710. A little bit of WWE Clash of Champions tickets at Nationwide Arena for September 26th. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. What did I say? Fifth caller? Fifth caller? Can take
your boys aren't
that
it. Your boys aren't into that, are they?
They haven't yet. Okay. Not yet. Right. Not yet.
Well, when they are, if my uncle's still working, you let me know. All right. I was talking Maddie Ice back there was all like, I get to interview Kofi Kingston, you know, this week. And I'm like, dude, yeah. You want to go? Like, my uncle literally hires or fires him, so we can go.
Right.
Like, he's the boss, you know?
He's known.
So
he's
tell
known.
Kofi that if he misbehaves, like, I'll tell Uncle John, you know?
That's right. That's exactly how it should be. Let's head out on the Brian Eady Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Matt Schneiman joins us. Packers beat writer for The Athletic. Well, look, I mean, you know where we're going with all of this, Matt. But let's just start with, as someone who covers that team, who's been around Aaron, and you've seen him at the match in Montana, you've seen him in Tahoe, you've seen his comments. I have some things that I thought coming out of the comments, but I don't have the history. Did you read into anything in terms of what he said?
I've been trying to decipher all these vague comments that Aaron Rodgers has lofted out there for the past couple months, and at this point, I've just given up. But I will say, I think there is a little bit of hint in his voice, and maybe I'm wrong, and this is probably just reading too much into it, especially from the interview. I don't know who it was to, so I apologize for not giving proper credit when he gave the interview at the American Century Championship in Lake Tahoe this week. About, you know, we'll figure things out in a couple weeks. A couple weeks is the start of training camp, and, you know, I've said all along, Packers aren't going to trade him, and I don't think he wants to sit out or retire. So my conclusion is that he might just be coming to the realization or the fact that he has to bite the bullet and play for the Packers this year, even no matter how he feels about the front office. Do it for teammates, his coaches, the fans that he loves, by all accounts, according to what he said with Kenny Mayne earlier this offseason on SportsCenter. But I wouldn't read too much into everything he's saying. He's always been kind of a cryptic, vague guy who says these things to make people think. But I think he will be there at some point during training camp.
Yeah, Matt, I get the sense, too, that, you know, 2 weeks from today, I'm looking on the website right now. I love the theme, back to football. Two weeks from today, they'll open camp. I feel like he's either there, like, it's a make or break on that day. I don't get the sense, like, he obviously has been in the league for so long. He respects his teammates. He loves those guys. It's not about them. So I don't see this being a scenario where he doesn't show up day one and then comes, like, back 3 weeks into camp. And then, because then you have the peer pressure, right, of, hey, we're not in rhythm, we're not in step, we lose games. Come on, Aaron, what's that about? You know, so I think he's either there or he's not. And you'll find out in 2 weeks.
I totally agree. At this point, on, what is it, July 14th, Aaron Rodgers knows if he's going to be in camp or not. He's had months to think about it. And the Packers have already made their decision if they're going to trade him or not. I don't think they're going to. So Aaron Rodgers, I don't think, at least if I know him well, which I probably don't know him nearly as well as a lot of other people, but he knows if he's going to show up at this point or not. And like you said, what's the point of costing yourself $50,000 a day just to, you know, play hard to get a little bit more and show up halfway through training camp? And like you said, cost some of that chemistry and take a half a camp's worth of reps away from you and Devontae Adams, you and Amari Rodgers, you and your rookie second round center that's going to start, that you need to develop a rapport with if you're planning on showing up right away. So I think, you know, I don't know his decision for sure, but let's say Aaron Rodgers is planning on showing up. Like you said, he's not going to wait halfway through. It'll be that first day, I think, assuming he has his mind made up already.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's where I got. I read it that way as well, that, excuse me, that this was all kind of like, maybe like he played the biggest hand he could play. They did it at the draft. If they were going to trade him, that seemed to be the time to trade him. And the Packers appear to be like maybe they could win, you know, the staring contest for another year. I want to ask you about Jordan Love, though, in terms of what you saw from him at minicamp. And is there progress that makes people up there feel like, oh, yeah, we got the guy when this is over with Rodgers?
Not yet. I mean, nor should there be. He's had a couple practices at OTAs and minicamp. Against a defense that isn't really trying and they're just going through the motions. Yes, Jordan Love has a strong arm. He's mobile, more mobile than a 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, there's so much that can be gleaned from playing in actual games, commanding the huddle, running a 2-minute offense, running a hurry up, reading a defense, an actual defense, pre and post snap. I mean, you can only figure those things out when you get in a game. And we asked quarterbacks coach Luke Getsy earlier in the offseason, how ready is Jordan to play in a game? And he was honest. He said, I don't know. And that's not saying Jordan Love isn't ready. That's saying he literally doesn't know. COVID canceled Jordan Love's rookie preseason last year. He didn't even get in during garbage time of any regular season or postseason games because he was the number three. He didn't even dress on game day. He hasn't worn a Packers uniform yet besides photo day, and those aren't even the real uniforms. So, you know, the Packers know that they'd be taking a huge, huge gamble starting Jordan Love in New Orleans on September 12th, week one, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up. That's why they brought in Blake Bortles. But, I don't think anyone knows what they have with Jordan Love yet. I think they're optimistic about what they have, but very wary about what they have.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, Matt, I'm just thinking about this preseason, the magnifying glass. Even if Aaron's there, I'm assuming he's not going to play a whole ton, that would be on Jordan Love. I'm wondering though, Matt, what's the feel amongst the fan base? Is it generally like, please come back, Aaron? Or I'm assuming that's what most logical fans are thinking, but has this fractured at all people's views of Aaron Rodgers, or is it more heat on Aaron or more heat on the organization?
That's a good question. I think I have a pretty accurate read on the pulse of the fan base. And as you guys know AJ Hawk, he played for this team for a while. This fan base is crazy, even with regards to their opinions of him. I mean, and with Aaron Rodgers, it goes to a whole new level. I will say, I don't want to say it's been surprising, but I think longtime Packer fans who went through this with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre about 13 years ago, I think a lot of them are saying, Aaron, you're not bigger than the franchise and you're acting like it. We're going to stick with the team regardless. Even if Jordan gives us a lesser chance to win, we're going to stick by his side. Now, of course, any reasonable fan wants Aaron Rodgers back. He's the reigning MVP. You'd be silly not to want him back. But I think at the same time, there is a general feeling among the fan base of A, fatigue, because they just want this to end, which I don't blame them for, and B, you know, yes, we want Aaron back, but at this point, if he wants to go, he can go. We're not going to chase him. We're not going to, you know, beg for him back like you're begging for your ex-girlfriend back. And instead, we're just going to support Jordan Love as much as we can.
Matt, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time with us. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Isn't it something, Threes, that they have such organizational buy-in with their fans that they can take a hard line on the reigning MVP?
Yeah,
It's not like he won the MVP. He won the MVP years ago, but he won it last year.
Yeah.
He's still at the peak of his powers, and the fan base, it's a real, almost like a college mentality where you're not as big as the program. Don't ever go against the program, Mitch. I mean, that's kind of the way it is there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say this.
Pretty wild.
I think that there's a few cities, I'll put it that way. There's a few cities that can do this, a few franchises, right? Like that's literally the town. That's the town. That's why that doesn't surprise me at all that they'll choose the franchise. Guess what? The franchise has always been here for us. It'll be here for us. You get that sense from some Packers fans. I know, you know what? You can go back to Cali when you're done playing here. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to stick around. The franchise will be here. But there's only a few franchises like that, I think, still around.
I agree. Yeah, it's a very few where you could do it, and that's probably one of them. We get you officially endorsed in three things on a first Friday. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan. If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, it's First Friday. Time for your officially endorsed. Hit a chopper.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
All right, this one is in homage to my wife's late great-grandmother who passed on Sunday. And this was a drink she would have from time to time of Polish descent. So we'll go Chopin vodka on the rocks and a couple of olives. May she rest in peace. God bless her. Time for three things. Hit it, Chops.
Three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
All right, number one for me. So the boys got on the Xbox Game Pass thing, they downloaded FIFA. And I, for full disclosure, I've played a little bit of FIFA in my day. And I thought it was the most fun game you could ever play when it came to that. So Bootsy comes down and he goes, he says, I'm going to destroy you. I'm so good at this. I said, oh, okay.
All right.
Why don't we see how it goes? Why don't we see how this goes? So he was real chesty. So I destroy him. 8-0. And he's just languishing. And instead of saying he's horrible, he says he's torrible. So he's like, I'm torrible. I'm never playing again. I'm torrible. Yeah. And he goes, and then he goes, I didn't know you were that good at this. And I said, that's right. That's right.
You're like Vince Vaughn in Couples Retreat, where he walks in and plays the garage band or whatever, Guitar Hero. And just, unbelievable. Slays him.
Yeah.
Good job out of you, man. You got to hold down the fort. Yeah. How's that feel, son? My first thing, Shelly, my goodness, this morning. She goes, you know, I've been driving. That's coming up next.
Okay.
The first one is, she goes, you know what? Our pink hydrangeas are looking really good. I'm like, yeah, they are. Every time I drive home, I'm like, they look nice. She goes, too bad I hate pink. And if we were staring here, I'd rip them all out and put white ones in. My wife, that's why I can't buy her flowers. She hates pink, no colors. Gray, mean beige, sure. Black, 50 shades of gray, whatever. There's no color. No, can't buy her flowers. Here's some sweet roses. Unreal.
My first thing, yesterday I was sitting on the couch with my lovely wife, J-Lo, and apparently her younger sister has a boyfriend, and so she met the dad and the brother this week or whatever, and she texted her that Derek and dad think that he's like Mark, and I was like, that's not true. and then Jen goes, I wrote it down, you are so aggressively unique that there's no way that's true. And I kind of smiled and I was like, and she goes, in a bad way. I'm like, all right.
She doesn't mean it though. She did marry you. So in a good way. And I think that's a good way to describe you. So aggressively unique. I think that that's right. I like that. Number two for me, had a chance to visit some of the buddies with the basketball tournament. Great to see Deebs. He's going to join us tomorrow on the show. Jared back in town as well. And it reminded me, and I got to talk with Coach Holtman on Monday. They've done such a great job of with the culture there. From Thad to Coach Holtman. And the facilities are incredible. The people are great. Just really good people that have been hired to run that program. They are so easy to root for. And where they're going, I think, is going to be a pretty remarkable place for the program. But it's that buy-in and the bridge that Holtman did to bridge back to those Thad guys that creates that culture. It's a really remarkable job that he's done.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome to see all those guys coming back and being welcomed back. You know, it's not that way all the time with everybody. So, yeah, okay. So, Shelly, again, everything revolves around her. She posts a video of Remy passed out. So, it's a photo from the driver's seat through the mirror at Remy sleeping.
Yep.
And she has a nice little cute thing, sound on. Okay, so I turn the sound on. At J. Laurinaitis, talking puts Remy to sleep. Been there, babe. Been there.
Jeez. Just so cold-blooded.
That's tough. My second thing, another example of awards just don't mean anything anymore, especially in like the celebrity category. So Don Cheadle was nominated for an Outstanding Guest Actor in a Drama Series Emmy for his cameo in the pilot episode of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The nomination confused people because it was just like a 3-minute role, two scenes. One of the scenes, he doesn't even talk. It's just like the establishing shot of like his character is there. And even Don Cheadle, he tweeted, he's like, thanks, well-wishers. Sorry, haters. I don't really get it either, though. We go on. And it's just, jeez. It reminds me of like the Grammys. Like now, if you have a good album, you win like 12 Grammys.
That's right.
And then you have these like crazy famous musicians who have like one Grammy to their whole
career. Participation trophies is what we got now.
Yeah, that's wild. Finally, for me, we've long lamented the issues with my landscaping. Well, after months of working at a snail's pace, we're apparently now the roadrunner. There were plants being delivered today as we were starting the show. We have some finalization of things that hold water. So things are happening very quickly, and I'm like, I don't even know what I've okayed at this point because I okayed this stuff so long ago, it's unfamiliar. And it's all going to be done in like a week. I'm like, are we sure we wanted that? I don't even know what the hell is going on. It's going to be a crazy couple days.
Did you see this story out of China about the dad and the son? So this dad lost his son. He was abducted at 2 years old. I guess there's a huge issue in China. Obviously, they have a limitation on how many kids you can have over in China. So there's a ton of children being abducted. They said they think already 2,609 this year. There's no official numbers, obviously, from them, but organizations talk about this. This dad, after 24 years, he drove 300,000 miles through China by motorbike for 24 years, putting photos of his two-year-old son everywhere. And after DNA tests, his 26-year-old son now, he meets up with them. And the quote is just pure joy. "Our child has been found. From now on, only happiness is left." And it's a photo of him hugging his son.
Well, that's that makes you feel good, but the first part of that makes you feel bad. So it's nice that
crazy.
At least, a happy ending for that one. Last one for me. Don't be that guy harassing the worker at a, I was at a burrito place yesterday, as I'm wont to do. And there's a guy, and the guy at the end of the line's kind of going a little slow, but he looks like he's doing his best. And this guy is sitting there. He's like, "Are you new here?" And the kid's like, "No."
"Oh, really?"
And he's like, "Are you tired? Sometimes I'm slow when I'm tired." And I'm like, "Well, you're not making them faster, man."
I would have crow hopped the burrito.
Oh my God.
If I wasn't injured, I may have stood up to him.
Just be kind.
You need a cattle prod for people like that. And if you don't know what that is, Google it. You behave like that cattle prod.
Like, you're still getting your burrito in like less than 10 minutes,
man. You're
going to
be fine.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be fine. You'll get it. Gosh. This is why I have to have a cocktail on a first Friday. Enjoy yours. Rothman and Ice up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.